Good morning. I'm Bill Zortman, and welcome to It's Your Business. The show number is 4453 in our original It's Your Business series. Now, the South Dakota Farm Bureau will be here with their monthly show, 10 to 11 this morning. Hope you'll give them an ear as well. We start the show with the FFA Family of the Year. Jerry Idy has been helping us go through all of the winners. Well, not all of the winners, but a large number of the winners, and introducing them. Today, Jerry, you've got the family.
Today we have the Liz and late John Stiefvater family, who we are very blessed have been huge supporters of the FFA locally, at the district, state, and even national level. And we're very fortunate this morning to have with us Kurt, his daughter, his niece, or nephew, and his mother all with us on the other line. And we're going to let them share a little bit about what FFA means to them, and we're just really blessed that they've supported us and have given all they have to FFA.
So where do you want to start, Jerry?
Well, I think I'm going to turn it over to Kurt and let him lead us off and share it with his family members that he has with him this morning.
Good morning, Kurt. Congratulations.
Good morning. Thank you very much. It was a great honor to receive that from the FFA organization, and our family's very grateful for being part of a strong organization throughout South Dakota and the nation.
So as we talk about this, so you had an important part of this. Was it back in 1984? Is that what I read?
Yes. When Dad was didn't want to see the program close because we had some weak years in there for the program, and went to the school board and decided to pump it up and try and give it another year and get some fundraising going behind it and regrow the program.
So what was the difference? I know your family, being a big family as it is, today, tomorrow, and yesterday, but for the most part, you guys made quite the difference, and it's never quite been the same in Salem.
Part of it was having strong leadership coming in, and Mr. Terry Reekman started leading the program then, becoming the ag teacher at Salem at the time, and now McCook Central, and has done growing the program greatly in the last roughly 40 years. So it's a lot of testament to him, and then the parents' involvement and the kids' involvement to grow the program.
Kurt, if you will, kindly introduce us to the guests that you have that will be joining us and how they're a part of FFA.
My mother, Liz, here, along with my dad, were strong supporters of the program, and my daughter, Carly, is here. My nephew, Colton, was not able to make it here today, but and I'll just let Mom say a few words here.
Mom, thank you for all your family has done. Now, what would you like to say about FFA and what your family has indeed done?
This is just such a great opportunity for these children. And students makes so open so many doors for them. And I'm so proud that there's a strong FFA program throughout the state and the nation.
So for you, what meant the most other than the program continuing, your family being engaged, and having a chance to work with various other folks in the community?
Well, I just think it gives them self-confidence and can take them wherever they want to go and choose their life's work or life's programs, whatever.
Well, you know, it was Salem, and it's now McCook Central, which means that people have begun working together even better with school districts. And for you, I think if you guys hadn't had the emphasis that you did, we may not have this program today, which is now the State Family of the Year. How about that?
Oh, it's wonderful. It's such a great honor. Very privileged to be a part of it.
Well, Mom, thank you for what you've done. And I know the kids are all proud of the fact that you stood up, made a difference, And Kurt, who else should we be talking to this morning?
Our daughter Carly is here, too.
Carly, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Tell us a little bit about the FFA, what it's meant to you, and where you think it needs to go.
FFA has been a great impact in my life. It's given me many opportunities that I don't think I would have gotten anywhere else. I've been able to make lots of new friends and have experiences all throughout the state and traveling to nationals. I think it's in a great position right now. We have lots of great supporters and sponsors that we're able to have to help us with our awards and other travel scholarships. And I think the future is very bright, and I hope that we can include more people and members into the FFA so they can have some of the experiences that us current members have had.
Carly, for those that don't understand what FFA is, what would you tell them?
I'd say it's an organization that's for everybody. It's not just people in agriculture. It's absolutely for everyone. You can find your own path and make your own memories and experiences, and you can make your own FFA experience your own, and you don't have to follow anyone else.
All right. Kurt, if you will, don't we have another guest or two?
I believe Hadley might be on the line, too.
Hadley, I've been hearing a little bit about Hadley. Hadley is a part of the program, and were you part of the conference this year up in Brookings?
Certainly, yeah. We had a great amount of stage crew this year, past officers, volunteers, ambassadors, that kind of put together the behind the scenes of the convention. And so, yeah, that was my new role as part of FFA, as more of an alumni now. So that was my contribution, but certainly still a meaningful role in an amazing organization.
If your family hadn't gone to the school board and pushed, there might not have been an FFA in your school. What difference would that have made today, do you think, if you had not had an FFA through the years?
I would have a very drastically different future. FFA has shaped a lot of how my college career went, where my college choice was, and now my future career and every step along the way. And my future would be completely different, and what I've done so far would be completely different without FFA. So I'm very, very grateful for that initial step. And you just never know what the impact of a decision can be on future generations. And I think that was a really positive impact.
All right, Hadley, you get to be a salesperson. Are you ready this morning?
I hope so.
I think you are. Here's what I would tell you. We have a lot of families out there that don't have anybody involved in FFA, but FFA may be available in their school, in their communities. What would you tell people about the value of being a part of FFA?
I feel like I can speak to the testament that FFA has value more than you initially see it for, right? People think ag education is tied wholly to FFA, but I think there's a lot of opportunity for different career and life skills that can come right from FFA and your experiences within it. Even if that's just involvement at the chapter level and you never do anything as far as participating at state or nationals, or just being a part of a local chapter, there is so much value and good that can come from that will change your life experiences, that will offer you unique opportunities that aren't available anywhere else. And I think that's something that if it's available, try it. The worst you can do is not be a part of it anymore, but you still have that experience and that opportunity to grow and develop those personal and life skills just through those activities.
Having spent, I think, 3-4 hours up in Brookings on Thursday, I had a chance to see so many Blue Jackets, so many communities that were sticking together, even to have a barbecue sandwich, to be able to just lounge together. I don't think I've been to any farm organization or any organization that had people that looked alike with their clothes sitting together planning for the future. Hadley, how does that happen?
FFA really brings together community, brings together friends that you never have met, and that really is the same standard across the nation. I think that's pretty remarkable with an organization like that to grow and develop people and to build those connections with strangers, with close friends, and especially with family. FFA is a pretty unique organization in that aspect, that it has the power to bring people together like that.
Kurt, can we get back to you?
Yes.
You currently serve as school board president, where you continue to advocate for the agriculture education and FFA. But tell us a little bit about the 45 acres for a land lab as we kind of close out the segment this morning. Tell us about that.
Well, I just looked. There was some land that was going to be rented out, and I just thought it was an opportunity for the FFA to expand some of their uses and direct knowledge and hands-on experiments to use that land. They offer it up even to the rest of the school, say a math class or science class, to use it as a land lab and have that experience, go out and be able to touch the soil and plants instead of necessarily looking in a book. And I just think that hands-on experience is a lot more rewarding and memorable to be able to do things like that. So I pushed and kind of got the two groups together, the FFA and the landowner, and we made it happen. So just it's worked out good for everybody, I believe.
Kurt, thanks for what you did there. Thanks for the family that have joined us today through the generations. If it hadn't been for you guys, where would FFA be in South Dakota? We don't know, but we're happy that you had the influence, the guidance, and the planning to do that, and you continue to plan today. Thank you very much for you and your family.
Thank you all very much. It's a great honor to receive that from the respected FFA organization, so thank you.
Well, we go from the FFA Family of the Year in South Dakota to an old friend, Dean Sorensen. We've worked together with projects, part of service clubs, part of the broadcast fraternity. He's enjoying a lot of sunshine. I said a little sunshine in Arizona this week, but he sent me a note sharing that older fellas have time, interest to pursue sometimes non-productive ideas. Dean was sharing one idea that he's had for many years in an increased awareness of the state of South Dakota statehood, which took place, by his notes, April 26, 1889, which would be 135 years ago. He said he's always thought if the TV and radio stations of South Dakota would draw special attention to the day, your citizens might be even prouder of their heritage in this great state. Dean, did I read that writing okay?
Yeah, you did. You did, yeah. The writing might not have been on the spot all the time, but you read it well. Good morning, Bill.
Well, you kind of taught me how to do all that. But
God bless your heart.
You know, I have to tell you, what you've taught me through the years and other broadcasters have is that you double-check facts. And, Dean, it isn't this Friday. It's November the 2nd. What's the deal?
Well, you know, at my age, you get a couple passes, a couple balls once in a while with the strikes. And but this is a good time for, I think probably that April date might have been when they adopted the Constitution here in South Dakota and got ready for statehood, which came in November of 1889. So it gives us time to get ready for it, but this will be our 135th year. And, you know, after we talked the other day, I related back and I remembered that in 1989, we celebrated the 100th anniversary of South Dakota statehood. And at that time, I said to myself, well, you know, I've been a South Dakotan one half of those 100 years. And it started to cause me to realize that South Dakota is a pretty special place. And then I spent some time in the desert Southwest and down in Arizona. They were the last of the 48 states to get statehood. They got it in 1912. That's not very long ago. And they made a big deal, always make a big deal of statehood day. It's on the 14th of February, and they hardly mention Valentine's Day, but they always talk about statehood day at that time. And I said, you know, we've got a lot of tradition, a lot of things to be proud of in South Dakota, and maybe we should spend a little time getting together and lifting our glasses and cheering and recognizing those folks who came before us. That was it.
Now, Dean, some people are going to think I'm lying when I say this, but I really, really believe it. And that is, we have some great media players in South Dakota, whether it be radio or television or print or online stuff today. But for the most part, if we would put our heads together for that November 2nd day, which is just like 3 days before Election Day in South Dakota, it might kind of serve as a reason for us to really be able to celebrate and say, hey, this is the 135th year.
We're very well said, very well said. You know, we need to be looking forward all the time, but there's nothing wrong with looking back at the folks that made it all possible for us. And that's what I kind of hope we'll do, kind of put some emphasis on where we came from and what those folks were thinking of back in 1889, because it was a big old territory and the government decided they'd split it in half and make it north and south. And, you know, I've always said that North Dakota is the second best Dakota in the country. It's a great place, but South Dakota is really special.
All right, so you and I putting our heads together, and we've now encouraged and invited all the media in the state, regardless of what form they might take, to be
That's
a part
right.
of this. So what could we do on November 2nd to truly make it a special day?
Well, I think most of all, we can just gather with friends, family, associates, and recognize the fact that there were some folks before us and what they set out and what we're doing to make it a better place during our stay here. And, you know, I don't know whether we should try to have parades or have just little coffee parties or have some apple pie and talk about some things like that. There's a lot of folks in our state with a lot of heritage in their brains, and it'd be fun to get some of those people to talk about it a little bit. And I don't know what the venue should be, but guys like you and our media can help generate that discussion, and that's where it all starts.
Well, we ought to invite the other media to get with us, do a little planning.
Yeah, but that's right. Yeah,
before we get to summer, let's start putting a plan together. Those young folks have got to have some great ideas as to where we might be in another 40 or 50 years. You and I may not be around in another 40 or 50 years. I just want to be here five more years. So for the most part, we could make a plan that would let us look back, maybe have costumes, a little parade, a little something to enjoy that could be either alcoholic or non-alcoholic. But we could have some fun together and say, hey, just glad that they did something 135 years ago.
That's right. That's right. It doesn't have to be real. I think we just kind of get people talking about it. I think they come up with some good ideas. And South Dakotans are always looking for a reason to get together and visit with our neighbors and stuff. This is a place we can do it.
Well, we do have a South Dakota Broadcasters Association. Maybe they should be engaged, too. You know
they
them pretty
been.
Well.
Yep. Yeah, you have a good point there. And our News Media Association, always looking for opportunities. And I think a lot of people can jump on. We'll jump on board. And let's get our South Dakota enthusiasm going in the right direction here, huh?
So you've been here since 1989, is that right?
That's the last, that's after the first 50 years, I was here in 89, yes.
Oh, my gosh. So you've been around since 39?
Since 39, yep.
I'm 46.
What a blessing.
So I'm 7 years younger than you. I don't find many people that I talk to that are younger than I am or older than I am. For the most part, you've got the experience. But we're being very serious this morning that we would like to get the media together. We'd like to get the state together and figure out how history-wise the schools could have a part in it as well. The colleges could have a start in it as well. I don't know what football teams play in the state on November the 2nd, but for the most part, we need to come up with a plan, and let's see if we can engage some of the other folks and say, come on, let's do it. We'll never have 135th again.
That's right, Bill. You're right. And it's going to be on a Saturday this year, so that's a good reason to get out and enjoy some fall fresh air and we could have a good time in South Dakota, couldn't we?
So how long you been in Arizona right now?
Okay, great. Thanks. Since the first of the year. Yeah, been back for one funeral. You do that a lot at my age, but we've been here since the first of the year. Yeah.
Dean, you've always been a good friend to me. You know, not everybody in South Dakota can say, Bill, you've been around a while. For the most part, I've been around and around for a while. But, you know, we've been here since August of 2000. So,
yeah, bless you. We're glad to have you. Get this Iowa blood moved up to the northwest and be a good part of South Dakota also. We love it.
All right, Dean, let's you and I start working on it, hit all the high spots, and if the media is out there paying attention, feel free to give Dean a call, or you can call me at 728-BILL, and let's get it started. Let's do something that we'll all be proud of November 2nd, the 135th anniversary.
Bill, you're a great friend of so many different avenues of South Dakota and our region. Thanks for your work, my friend. Have a great day.
All right, let me know when you get back to town.
Will do it.
I'm Bill Dorfman. Welcome back to It's Your Business. A few weeks ago, I was sure at the prodding of Alan and Leslie Unruh, I was going to be a little busy this coming Friday. I was asked to be the MC for the Alpha Center annual dinner. Alan, of course, is the center founder who, over the past 40 years, have asked supporters to come eat. But, you know, you really need to support the Alpha Center's mission, vision, and values. Mrs. Unruh, Leslie Unruh, is with us this morning. We're going to talk a little bit about the appeal. And, Leslie, why it's so important? What would you tell our audience?
Well, thank you, Bill. It is great to be with you today. Well, we at the Alpha Center have been clearing the confusion with a message of hope for young women and families since 1984. So this week's a big week for us, 41 years. And what we're going to be doing Friday night is we're going to be showing everyone that attends the Legacy Mobile Medical Unit. Our goal can be only accomplished through acquiring additional servant-hearted people, professionals in our community, which is what we're going to be trying to do, and we're going to equip them to be helping us with that mobile unit, doing pregnancy tests. We'll be doing STD testing in the community, ultrasounds, and the abortion pill reversal, which is a rescue program. And so we're pretty excited about this. And of course, we want to maintain our budget that we have, because we've been here doing this day to day for a lot of years. And we have some great programs. We have the life skills class, and we have Earn While You Learn, and it's not like a handout program, it's a hand up. And we really believe in building our community with some great people. And it's been a privilege to serve this community for 41 years for me.
Leslie, let's go back. 41 years ago, 40 years ago, now the 41st event. Tell us a little bit about how it started, why it started, how it has grown through the years.
Well, it started because Alan Unruh, there was a tape program that had given out information, and he decided to do up his own little tape program and put it out there for the community. And it was kind of what we thought was a mistake that's turned into here for us 40-plus years later, helping all these young women that were in crisis. And they needed a place to go, and they called this 24-hour hotline that's been there 24 hours a day, 365 days out of the year, and just to be someone who cares. And we just really feel like when it comes to teen pregnancies, and everything that's out there, love's a better answer than what we have without the Alpha Center. And so we really want to help these young women and these young men and the families. And it's been amazing. And now we get to meet these young women that have families of their own after all these years. And it's been amazing.
I have been watching and I have been reading the program. I don't think I've ever been asked to have 34 pages of notes to MC in an event. And it was like, you know what? It's a good thing this is a show that's going to last a while. But it does start with the bishop who is actually going to say a prayer.
Oh,
and
yes.
Starting with a prayer doesn't ever hurt.
That's right. He is so amazing. And we are so thrilled to have him. And I think our whole state, we are so blessed to have this amazing man in our state.
Now, you guys a couple of weeks ago had me come over to a building, which I had no idea where it was. Quite by accident, I went by O'Gorman High School, and I figured, well, this has got to be it. And there it was. And as you took me through it, I asked a lot of questions about how people at O'Gorman could look all the way across the street. And some of the people that are there actually were students at O'Gorman during the time. But for the most part, you kind of went through what the families go through, what the young ladies go through. Can you kind of share a little bit of that so that people understand what you're doing and how you've done it for four decades?
Well, we really do clear the confusion. There's a lot of confusion around pregnancy, and there's a lot of hurt, and there's a lot of young women that are scared and families that are scared. And so what we do is we talk to these young women, and we talk to their families, and we really give them hope. And hope is a better answer, and love is a better answer than other things that are going on right now in our country. And so what we try to do is we meet this young woman where she's at. Nobody judges her. It's very confidential. And she knows that we're going to be there for her. I'm still seeing some young women that came to us many, many years ago. We keep in touch, and we just encourage them. And I think that's a better answer than some of the issues that we have to be dealing with all the time. And so what we're doing is we're there, and we really want to have community partners to partner with us. And we're just thrilled to have you this year. And our staff does a pretty thorough job on these dinners. You'll be impressed. You'll be very impressed.
Well, if I just can read through 38 pages and not get lost a few times. If I do, you can just say, well, it's that Zortman guy. He came from Iowa, and he'd been in 14 states. You know, we finally got him home in South Dakota, and we got him under control.
Well, you're the best. We know you're the best at this, and we listen to your show every day, so we know you're the best. So we're really happy about having you, Bill. We're honored, actually.
Leslie, as you've talked this morning, what you have kind of shared is that there is help for these young families, for this young lady that doesn't know what she's going to do. But for the most part, you got people that can talk to her, not threaten her, not put her in a position that she can't make a decision, but for the most part, answer her questions in a way that's effective.
That's right. And, you know, for those that sometimes go a different route than what we would maybe choose in our lives for them to go, we're there for them. We do abortion recovery programs, and we even have a memorial wall there. So we're there to love people, meet them where they're at, no matter what their decision is.
Now, not everybody in Sioux Falls or the Sioux Falls area can be there. But one of the things that you guys make very clear is that we're here to have more than just a meal. We're here to do more than just listen. We're here to help. How do people help this morning that perhaps are not going to be a part of this event? How can they make a difference?
Well, they can get a hold of the Alpha Center, and we'd love to give tours to people from the community. They would like to come in, and we can have a cup of coffee and sit down. They can watch a little film if they want, or they can just get a, you know, come through the whole building and look at everything and meet some of the great people that are there. And there are a lot of medical people that they can meet and talk to. They can get a tour of the mobile unit that's going out throughout the community and across the state. And we would love that to really, if they can't make it to the dinner. And I think we're pretty much sold out now anyways. It's full crowd, over 1,200 people. And so we would love it if they would come in, and or even a group, if they can bring their church or civic group that they have, and we can give them a tour. We would love that.
To get 1,200 people after 40-some years to be a part of this. And again, it's going to be at the convention center is where you got to do it. You got to have a big enough place to do it. The Alpha Center is a beautiful place, but I don't know where you'd put 1,200 people.
Well, you know, that's getting to be a problem. The city's going to have to build something bigger for us. We've been doing that for a few years now. We hate turning people away. So, yeah, we got to think bigger, don't you think, Bill?
I think you're right. Now, I'm going to have Alan on tomorrow, and he hadn't got one of those people to report back as to how he's been able to help him. So I said, you and I are going to talk about this conference on Friday night. I said, if you don't find a guest, we'll do that. And he started to laugh, and he said, you have it figured out, don't you? I said, yeah, that's my job. And what we have, this is an issue in the community. And for the most part,
really
what
is.
I went through as somebody that had never been through a center quite like that, asked some questions, got an understanding. When I saw you, I got a better understanding because Alan wasn't really helping me as to what they did in the building. But for the most part, that's the reason you're there. That's the reason you're making a difference, and you're going to answer questions that people have that are really concerned what they're going to do today, tomorrow, and beyond.
Well, we are there for the community and for these young women, and we really care. And I'll tell you what, we have the best staff. They are amazing, amazing people that God sent to us, I'm pretty sure.
All right. For people that are saying, I know somebody that needs to go to the Alpha Center and visit, how do they do that? Is there a way, a number they can call, an email address? What do they need to do, Leslie?
Yeah, they can go online and go to our website, and they can also go to, and also they can call our number is 605-361-3500. That's 605-361-3500. And they can go to the Alpha Center websites, and we can get them in for a tour, or we can get them in to see them as a client even.
You know, I get to speak and MC a lot of different things, but I've never had a color coordinator call me and say, you're going to wear red and black. So it was kind of like, this is pretty well planned. And my wife said, do you have red and black? I said, oh, yeah. And I have it in a pair of shoes as well. So we are
looking forward to see what you're going to wear. I better make sure I get some red and black too then.
Well, final thing that you want people to know this morning as to if they're not a part of the event or if they are part of the event, what they should know going into Friday.
Well, we just really want them to be a part of this. This is their community, too, and they care about these issues. And I think it's time to sit down and have a little conversation and clear all the confusion, because there has been a lot of confusion, and we are all about hope and love, and we want to make sure that they feel a part of this as well. So they're welcome to come
and
anytime.
Don't feel you're going to be challenged because they have young people come in all the time and they answer their questions. They don't second guess you. They don't judge you. They let you ask the questions and let you make your own decision.
That's exactly right.
I learned something. How about that?
We can always learn something, right?
Leslie, looking forward to it. Thanks for what you do.
All right. Thank you, Bill. You're awesome.
Well, we've got one more stop this morning, and that is going to deal with the 67th annual Lions Club Pancake Days that begins at 4 p.m. today at the Sioux Falls Convention Center. Just as we did last week to promote the Lions Project, you're going to hear a little bit from Todd Smith. Todd has just been delayed a little bit this morning as far as what we need to do and what we need to know. But it is a tradition. Those of you that have been around for a long period of time know you can really enjoy the pancakes. They're topped with syrup from Hy-Vee, mouth-watering smokies, coffee, milk, juice, and to top it off with a bowl of delicious Wells Blue Bunny ice cream. The tickets, well, they're like $12 at the door. Children 6 and under with parent family are free. And that is just kind of the tie to it. And right on cue, Todd Smith has joined us, and we're talking about the Sioux Falls Lions Club being able to serve over 8,000 during the two-day pancake feed. When we talk about that, Todd, why does that give you almost goosebumps thinking about what you're going to be able to do the next couple of days?
Well, I'm looking forward to moving fast for a long time here. The grills are getting tested and heated up right now, so we'll be ready at 4 o'clock tonight. And pancakes.
Well, you've got 11 grills, and it says that you guys and gals are well trained. How do you get trained on a grill?
Well, you get some pointers, and then you practice.
So how would you practice, Todd? Tell me what you would do to practice. Would you have to eat a few pancakes to make sure they're good?
We have to see if you can lay down 48 pancakes, all the same size, and let them cook for 4 minutes.
Okay.
And the bubbles start to pop, start flipping the pancakes.
So this started back in the before Aunt Jemima, as I understand it, and you've been...
Aunt Jemima was there for the first one.
Oh, she was there for the first one.
She was there for the first one. It was that company's idea. They called and said, who would want to do this? And we'll send her down. So we had Aunt Jemima and pancakes, and we had no idea that many people would show up.
So
as I was not there, but
well, they say I'm old, but I wasn't there at that point. But talk to us a little bit about some of the projects that the Lions Club are famous for, and how people can help. And you would like people not only to come eat, but to bring a couple of things with them.
You bet. What we do is we have you bring your glasses that you were going to dispose of. And those get cleaned and tested so they know what the prescription is, and then they go to third world countries. Mostly for us, it's Mexico. And people who don't have glasses get examined and get to use those glasses.
Having
one of the programs.
Okay, tell us about another one.
Okay, then there's the Lions Vision Clinic, which is right downtown Sioux Falls. And there, people in need can go get their eye exam taken care of, and then 2 weeks later they get their glasses, and we pay for the exam and the glasses in that case. And then all over the state, the Lions Foundation that we support, it gives eye exams to all the preschoolers and all the young children so that they know when they go to school if they need glasses or not. And our average last year was just under 9% of those tested needed to have some kind of vision correction. And we tested nearly 40,000 young people.
To me.
And we also give to McCrossin's Boys Ranch. We give scholarships to them, and they come and help us work the pancake days. And then we give to Feeding South Dakota, Food to You, Lunch to Serve, and Youth Exchange Program is a program where friends of Lions or children of Lions get together for a week-long camp, and it's international, so these young people get to know people from all over the world.
You know, Aunt Jemima made the trip out here, but I think what I remember most about the Lions is the eyeglasses. You guys have been famous for the eyeglasses for a number of times. You've added some other projects that are pretty important. But those eyeglasses make a difference. A lot of time, people toss them aside, don't need them. But to have those eyeglasses available can make a difference to an awful lot of people.
You bet. So we're doing it today at 4 o'clock until 8 o'clock for all the pancakes you can eat, and then tomorrow, breakfast, lunch, and dinner all day.
60,000 pancakes, 40,000 Smokies, an estimate that you guys have had, and you served generally 8,000 two-day feed. That's a pretty big deal.
It's a big deal. We've got milk and juice and coffee to go along with it, and then if you need just a little more, we got Blue Bunny ice cream for $2.
Well, and Norm was saying, don't you forget the Blue Bunny ice cream. Don't let this guy named Todd start eating that ice cream before we get there. So, you know, you've got 4 to 8 today, 6 to 8 And that's 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Wednesday. And we want to encourage people to go and, you know, applauding the Lions Club or what they've done over the years. Thank heavens it was an Aunt Jemima-like person that got us started. But you guys have kept the tradition going. 11 grills. I still want to see what that training is like for you guys to make sure you guys really know what you're doing.
I think you've aged out, though. Oh, did I insult you on that?
Oh, don't worry about that. That's okay. Yeah, I'll just come over and steal your ice cream, your Blue Bunny ice cream. We'll have a little feud on that and see who can eat the most ice cream. We could do that. So we appreciate you. And again, do you think you'll have a big crowd this year? Looks like the weather's going to cooperate.
Yeah, the weather's great. It's cool enough that you want pancakes, but yet not blistering rain in your face or anything. So should be great.
Well, thank all the Lions for me. If I don't get over there, you know, I'll try to get there early enough. I'll get the last of the 80,000 or 8,000 you're going to serve and maybe try for a couple of Smokies too. So we appreciate you guys.
You're coming out to be with us.
Well, they told me I couldn't come this year, and I felt really bad about it. But for the most part, I may have to just make a call and say, hey, I'm there. Where do I go? Who can I help? So I may even help you.
All right. I look forward to you coming out. If we can fit you in, we'll get you a spatula in your hand.
There you go. Todd Smith, we appreciate you. Appreciate the Lions. And we'll talk more about that again tomorrow. Thank you very much.
All right.
We do have one other thing to do this morning, and that is to give away some tickets to the El Rayyad Shrine Circus. It's coming up the 25th, 26th, 27th, and 28th. We do have some tickets to give away. Norm says 336-1320 will take the third caller. The winner gets four tickets, a family pack. And we would like you to call now, 336-1320. Well, we enjoyed being able to talk about the 67th Annual Lions Club Pancake Days. Begins at 4 o'clock today, goes 4 to 8, and then Wednesday, 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Wednesday. We did get a winner. Norm said this morning, he woke up and said, it's going to be the third caller, and the third caller is John Curry. And he wins a four-pack of tickets to the Shrine Circus. The Shrine Circus, again, is coming up Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So we hope that John will enjoy the tickets. And we're going to give away more tickets tomorrow. And then we'll give away the last of our tickets on Friday. We're glad to be able to do it. We know that what the Lions Club is doing and what the El Rayyad Shrine folks are doing is helping the community. And that's what we're all about. And that's some of the things that we talked about this morning in our very special Tuesday show, which gave us a chance to talk with people that were the Farm Family of the Year for FFA in South Dakota. They're out of Salem. That was such an interesting scenario. Dean Sorensen, an old friend, an old broadcaster, is in Arizona, but he had written to me saying that maybe we should do something on the 135th anniversary of the South Dakota statehood, but he thought it was coming up this Friday. It's not. It's November 2nd. So we are now working to get the State Broadcasters Association, maybe some of the other broadcast and journalistic organizations around the state, our local media as well, the newspapers, the radio, the televisions, those online services, as something that we can do when it comes to November 2nd, when it will actually be the 135th anniversary for South Dakota. A great idea that Dean Sorensen had, and he said, you know, he's put this idea out for a number of years, and the media hasn't responded. Well, this is the only time will be the 135th anniversary. We want to get the media together, much like farm organizations are getting together. Various folks in the community are getting together. We want to get together with them, and let's make a big deal out of the 135 years that South Dakota has been around, and that would be November 2nd, just 3 days before Election Day. Great chance to remind people, yes, as a part of your 135th, get out and vote. We appreciate you being with us this morning. The Farm Bureau folks are in the building. They're gathering, and they tell me that they're going to storm the studio if we're not out of here in 6 seconds. We're out of here. For now, my time's up. Thank you for your time.
Kello News Talk 1320 KELO Sioux Falls, FM 107.9 KELQ Flandreau Sioux Falls, and online at Kello.